Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the show, the only show that I know of, that we consistently talk about building our own communities, separating into our own societies that we control, so that we can protect ourselves, provide for ourselves, and build environments where we can nurture ourselves, our youth, protect our seniors, so that we can have a civilized, safe, and enjoyable life as black people. This is something that's worthy. However, a lot of our people feel that we talk about, when we talk about black people separating and going for ourselves, they think that it's discrimination in reverse. They think that we are putting ourselves, we're excluding other people, and that somehow that is detrimental to our progress. Well, we counter that. We say we have histories. There's histories of not just black people, but other peoples, whether it's religious or other interests, that do just that, and they seem to thrive. So that's what we're saying. We're saying that we need to try that. We need to go ahead and be one of the first to make this modern-day experiment where we can come to our own. We can try to build our own, support our own, and provide for ourselves. So tonight, we are having our Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio panel discussion. This is the time where we invite our Time to Leave members and yourself, our audience, our loyal audience, to discuss anything that has to do with separating, community building, and doing for ourselves. So So we're going to get right into it. We have three of our panel members that have pushed the blue button that's ready to get in the queue. We have Sister Ann. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ann.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Carlton and guests.
Yes, ma'am. And we have Sister Majida. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Majida.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Carlton, Sister Ann, and our listening audience.
And
how are you all doing?
Yes, ma'am. And we all praise be to Allah. And we have Dr. Ridgely. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam. So I guess I'm the guest, so I just wait for y'all to say something or ask me some questions. Because I'm probably the least prepared, so, yeah. But carry on. I'm here.
I can't even imagine
that.
Well, I got a lot of things on my plate right now, you know, up here in the Big Apple studying and just trying to get some things straight for the summer, the watermelons. So got a lot of things on my mind.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. And we hope that they all include, in some part, separation.
Well, yes, I think they do. We want separate watermelons. And yeah, I had a chance to visit a elementary school, and to talk to some students. And I love children because, you know, they're honest, okay? They'll let you know what they think. And, you know, they're honest. If you say something that makes sense, they'll bear witness to it honestly. If you say something that don't make sense, they'll look at you funny, honestly. Okay, so if you can keep them from throwing spitballs at you or not going to sleep, those two extremes, then you did well. Well, for two classes, I did well. Didn't have a chance for the third class because I had to go downtown and waste my time dealing with the bossy files. But anyway, and we were, you know, I got a chance to, I put a picture up of me in front of this brother's food truck, young brother. That has a food truck, and we should be doing some business with him in the future. And I just, the food truck is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
To be independent, because if you get a building, then you got to worry about games that people play, like zoning laws. Now, if you're renting a building from somebody, then they'll jack the rent up for you after you make some money. And the truck or the trailer allows you to move around,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, we can spread whatever we got around. Because one thing about being free and separate, you know, one of the things that people worry about, they go starve to death. Man, I don't know, man. Ooh, I'm going with y'all out there in the wilderness to starve to death. You know what I mean? So the ability to feed ourselves is one of the first steps towards being free. You know, you got to have some land, and of course, you know, MacDuff and Murder King, you know, they got our people sucked up in this American dream where they got you eating the impossible burger. Why would you want to eat some impossible burger? If it's impossible, why would you want to eat it? So, you know, it's a we have to prove things to our people to get them past that mental hurdle of feeling that they're not gonna make it without massa, and making them, you know, things that, you know, they worry about not having no heat on in the winter, not having no air conditioning in the summer, you know, not worrying about their being able to get their overpriced vehicle repaired. So, you know, unfortunately, it's going to take some drastic stuff to get most of us moving out.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to do down in Georgia is to give an example.
How drastic, Dr.
Have a place. How drastic? Let's
yeah,
see.
So you talking catastrophe? You talking?
I'm talking catastrophe. No, I'm talking catastrophe. I'm talking about like the house being burned down and they have no insurance to build it again. I'm talking like a water main bursting, and there's no more water for your house, and all the water's in the subway, so you can't get out through the subway. You know, I just looked at a map that I was looking at the number of places in New York. Because one of the things I asked the students, how many, and I checked both of these pieces of information. I said, how many black-owned grocery stores are there in New York City? And I had already checked it, and of course they started off with like, 1,000, 500.
Wow.
And then one little girl said zero. I said, what?
Wow.
I said, why you say that? She said, because I ain't seen none.
Wow.
And so she was right. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
So
lights on.
So then I asked her, huh?
No, I just said her light was on. She sees the reality of her situation.
Smart.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked him, I said, well, how many places are there to go where a poor person can sell their blood? And of course, they were shocked, even for that question to be asked. What? I said, yeah. How many places? And somebody said zero. I said, no, it's more than zero. Then they started guessing, and then I finally guessed eight. So I looked it up. I'd already looked it up the night before, of course. And there are eight places in New York City, and all of them are clustered around Midtown, Manhattan. And so I thought maybe they'd be in Harlem or in the Bronx or in Brooklyn, some of the poor areas for blacks. No, it's Midtown, Manhattan, which, ain't many black folks live in there because he can't pay them. They put up some huge sky rise up there in that area now, huge. That's, nothing but luxury apartments, for millionaires, So, then I thought about it. Number one, one thing about agriculture, we learned how to grow food close to our house. So, since the rich people want this fresh blood, well, sure, have them close so they can get it fresh. And then I looked at the location. I said, why is Midtown so expensive? What's the deal? Well, it's the major way to get out. The Lincoln Tunnel has the most tunnels. Okay? It's got three tunnels. All right? So in case of an emergency, that would be the fastest way to get out of New York. If you don't have a helicopter, you don't have a boat. The George Washington Bridge is ridiculous in terms of there's always traffic delays on the George Washington Bridge, even though it has these two levels. And so the fastest way is out of the Lincoln Tunnel. So all the rich folks live close to the Lincoln Tunnel. So that's the high-priced property. So those who can't afford to fly out on their helicopter or they don't have a yacht parked at the on the docks, then they can get out to the Lincoln Tunnel. Okay? So, but we just sitting ducks, not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and while I was up here, they had a water main, a main water main, the second day I was here, that burst. And it flooded the subway. They had to shut the subway down because the water was up to the third rail. They had to cut the steam pipes, had to shut that off that was underneath the ground, underneath the break, because that water had hit that pipes. It would blow them pipes because the pipes is hot and the water is cold. So they had to shut the steam off, okay? But, New York City, they got it going the next day, and you know, everybody going back to normal. And then I heard this morning that they had to shut one of the lines down, subway lines down, because there was an outburst, let me get it right, of bed bugs.
Wow.
That they had to shut down one of the tunnels. Bed bugs? You know, I expected to hear something like, you know, rats, alligators, snakes, you know, anything like that. Bed bugs? So it's going to take something like that to get these people out of here. I ran into a person who was from Dawson, Georgia. His brother was 74 years old. He left Dawson, Georgia in 1960, and he said that he never looked back, never went back, never intends to go back.
Okay. Did he say why?
Well, what happened, was his mother and father and grandmother got killed. He was in the car, but he didn't get killed, as this white woman ran him off the road over in Sasser.
Mm.
And, you know, so as soon as he can get out, he's a teenager, he left there.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, the area, Terrell County used to be called Terrell County, you know, for a reason.
Mm.
Now, we have now a black mayor. We have, and most importantly, we have a black sheriff who me and Sister Ann know does a lot to protect the rights of black people and their property in Terrell County. As a matter of fact, when the minister came down there, one of his deputies, it was a conspiracy to trap the minister, and two black state troopers heard it, and they showed up, and they didn't know who it was that they was coming to, because this deputy put this word out that there's a problem, all right? And so these two black state patrol guys, two cars, they showed up. And when we told them who it was in the car, they said, can we get his autograph? So they went to get Minister Farrakhan's autograph. And now, of course, the deputy is looking, he really looking, you know, egg on his face, real stupid. And then right behind them came the sheriff, because he didn't know what was going on. So he came to find out, and he found out the minister, and he told his deputy, brother, this is Mr. Farrakhan. What are you doing? This is their property. So anyway, that night on the, because, you know, it was a big thing. You know, everybody heard about it. So WALB interviewed the sheriff. And I tell you, I got tremendous respect for this brother in terms of being a politician. So when they asked him about that, they heard that there was a situation out of the Muslim farm, and he said, yes, that was Minister Farrakhan coming to inspect his land, and of course, he's always welcome here, and we do our best to accommodate him.
That's right.
Wow.
Go ahead.
I said, what? I mean, here he turned a bad situation, all right, into a political campaign for himself. And, you know, he's been elected over and over again. So I said, wow. So that's the new South.
Yeah, he's been elected over and over again, even though the head of the county commissioner and several other white department heads have little use for him.
Mm.
Not only little youth, you know, they actually put him in jail for a short spell.
Really?
And something he had done, which they caught him on. And, you know, he said, "I do my time." He said, "I could have got out of by paying a fine." He said, "No, I do my time, and I still run again. And so he did, and he won. And so there is a difference. And so if we get a few more able-bodied men and women who really wants to do something, come on down to Terrell County. The sheriff's on our side.
Wow.
School superintendent's on our side. The mayor's on our side.
Yeah, you got a majority black city council down in Dawson.
Yep. And so, only thing we don't have on our side, we got two black county commissioners out of a total of five. And we get one more, that'll be three out of five, and that'll be it for them. The other two will leave town. So,
But that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take.
That's what it's going to take. It's majority of black, and they just need some people who have some testicular fortitude to come in and back them, because these are good old boys. Own all the land and all the jobs, and so they got the people under their economic thumb. So politically, they have been uprising against the system, but you know they need a little bit more help. We need some people to come down who got some businesses, who can provide some employment. If we got people who can provide some employment for these people, and then it would be a wrap.
Right.
Yeah.
Just as simple as that. You know?
I was listening to the minister the other day, and he was basically speaking into that. He said the only way, he was talking about controlling our communities. He said the only way we can make our communities safe and decent is to take control. He said control politically, control economically, and above all, the education of our children. So, I mean, that's just right into what you were just speaking on.
Right.
And the head of the school board, even though he's retired now, but he's partially retired. He helped another guy who got in office. I take paper down to the school board every week. And, you know, this brother, he's waiting on me to come through on what I said, that I would find some Muslims school teachers.
Wow.
But I can't come through on that, and it's quite embarrassing. Because nobody wants to move here. The brother said he was going to do it, but he said, my wife, she didn't want to leave out, oh, man, please. Anyway.
Oh.
So that's what we got. So, yes, it's available here. Things are properties available. Like I said, we got sheriffs, we got city council people, we got mayors. We got some people who this is not like it was 30 or 40, 50 years ago. But now we need some people who can provide some jobs, some employment, some economic development.
I was thinking about what you just said, Dr. Ridgely. It's not like it was 30, 40, 50 years ago. And I was thinking we shouldn't be like we were 30, 40, 50 years ago with what we've been given. Like you said, the testicular fortitude. We're not that same people that's scared to death Negro. So,
But
we shouldn't be like we were 30, 40 years ago.
Well, we're not scared to death Negroes in terms of scared of white people, but we are scared of losing our cool spot in hell. Each one of us kind of found a nice cool spot where we're doing okay individually, right? And we're not willing to take a chance on leaving any of that. So we have a house that we're paying for.
Hard for that now.
Huh?
I said we have worked hard for that now.
Yeah,
yes.
We've worked hard. We work hard for those cars that we cannot afford. We work hard for the house that we cannot keep up, falling apart, but we don't have the money to fix it up so we can pay the mortgage so we can keep it. But, you know, the pipes is busted, the ceiling's falling in, and there's grass growing up all around. But you know, we get it ready for Super Bowl to impress our friends. And most of us can't even live in it because we got to work two jobs to keep it. I just don't know. But it's not we're not afraid in a normal sense. You know, we are just sorry, meaning that we done got locked in by the enemy. It's offered us money, big houses, and friendship at the club, and luxury automobiles. And
right.
So we think that was our promise. Money, good homes, and friendship, all walks of life, luxury. So he's offered us that. And now that we have that, even though we are in debt to our kazoogles, and we are afraid of each other and the police in our car, you don't want to get pulled, suspected of having too fine of a car. You're being targeted with cameras and giving you tickets all the time. But, you know, you got these trappings, and that's what they are, trappings of success.
Wow.
And you're stuck. You're trapped.
I was just thinking about what you said, Dr. Ridgely, about the promise. Is it that we, because, you know, we were promised that, and we're getting those things, but it looks as though we forgot where we should be looking to receive those things. What's the work that we should be doing to get it? And we're looking to get it from someone who's offering it to us as you say, like trappings, but not that we're working for it, that we're building what we should be building, what God chose us to build, and getting it that way.
Correct. And you don't own a job unless you're making a job. If it's not a
right.
business, you don't own the job.
Right.
And if you have a mortgage, you don't own the house. And if it's in the city, they can come through eminent domain and make you leave.
Mm-hmm.
And or what they're doing even slicker, they're taking houses and putting people in them who can't afford them and tear down the whole community, and then they come and take another set of them out and put a set of white homosexuals in next door to you. So you got your house, but you got no damn neighbors.
Right.
Who you want to be neighbors to. Right? So
That sounds like a form of division again.
Yes. And they playing these games, and we are continually thinking that these people are going to play fair. Fair ain't in them. It's just like I said, I looked at that map, and I put on my Facebook page, I said, why are those centers where they are? You know, those blood-sucking centers. And one person got it. The other people didn't get it. I said, one brother put in, well, you know, they didn't want to put it in Harlem because they don't want to get drug-infested blood. They want to get, you know, better blood. Well, the damn people who got the quote-unquote better blood is the people who get.
Yes. Why would they be harvesting organs and all of that? If
right.
Well,
right.
The thing is, it ain't the rich folks giving up the blood.
Exactly.
So why they have blood
exactly.
banks in the rich folk neighborhood?
Yes.
Okay.
They're collecting outside of the neighborhood and storing it close to where they have access.
Right.
And the people
got right.
They get there on a train. They get there on a train. They get off the train. They go give their blood. And then once they test them to make sure it's good blood and good organs, they give them a little piece of paper saying, oh, you need to go to the doctor for a free checkup because we think you got something. And guess what? They never get back on the train.
They get lost in the shuffle, huh?
They get lost in the shuffle because, you know, men and people are homeless or almost homeless. In other words, nobody cares about them. So they won't miss them.
Right.
But now there you go, Muslims going, y'all need conspiracy theories. Well, hell, they ain't conspiracy no more. It's out. This out. This public. They're buying blood and selling to the rich. Okay?
Right. And, you know, it would be good to know the percentage of blacks who give blood versus white.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am, Sister Ann.
Because I can assure you that it is overwhelming on our side.
Mm.
Oh, I'll see what I can find out. Well, hell, you know, white folks, they can't afford to give no blood up. They won't make it.
I was like, what was that movie, Get Out?
Yeah. Yeah, they give blood one time and they probably die on the way home from natural causes. You know, black folks regenerate that stuff right away. Matter of fact, this is what they, you know, I studied a little bit. The first time you come in, they give you $75. From then on, they give you $40. And you can only go twice a week.
Mm.
So we are the cash cow, the blood cow.
Wow.
And so, yep, they we come down there on the train, and we give them the blood, and that blood goes away on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we got to work on our mission, save our people.
Well, we are trying to work on it with what we're trying to do is Time to Leave and Stay With Us Project, Muhammad Farms.
Yes, sir.
This is what we're trying to do. But people, they don't want to hear this cold-blooded stuff. You know, they want to be entertained. So we got to find us a singer that can sing to them because that's what they want.
Song, get us separation jingle.
You know.
I'm just being facetious. I mean, this is serious.
Saying,
separation or death? I mean, how do you jingle that?
Well, we got to figure it out, boy, because they just ain't evidently they're not going for the cold blooded stuff. You know, I mean, we see that. It's like getting blood out of a turnip. You know,
mm-hmm.
They really don't want to hear it because they're not ready to move it. But we know we have found some people who have moved and made the move, and we're going to ask them to come on our program. But we want people to talk about, you know, what they had to go through to in their head
mm-hmm.
first, and then in their actual feet to make that move. You know,
mm-hmm.
it takes some real thought process, gumption, or like I said, you know my little joke, right, about why people move. Okay, school, job, marriage, divorce.
Right.
School, job, marriage, divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Or earthquake. and
watch,
evidently,
another,
that's
no, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, it's people waiting on the earthquake out there in California. They ain't gonna move until it hit. That's just it. They ain't gonna move until it hit. That's just it. But you know, even up here, you know, I'm watching people, and I'm seeing how their skins are messed up. They don't look healthy. They don't look happy. You know, it's on the street. You know, I'm just watching people on the street, and I'm going
mm-hmm.
like, duh. But they're trying to survive. So if you know,
mm-hmm. right?
I got to get my meds. You know, they got to get the meds. then they got to go to the job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they're just trying to survive from moment
mm-hmm.
to moment. You know, and you know, even though it takes them an hour to get to work and an hour to come home, you know, if they're lucky,
mm-hmm.
this is bad traffic. This is an hour and a half. And they do this every day.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's, they're making it. So it's
and for
it's
some of us, we don't
case.
Know that there's anything else. We just for some
yeah,
of us,
we don't know.
We just
yeah,
don't know
so
that there's anything.
Don't.
This is it. This is my
right.
lot in life.
Right.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. This is it. You know, most people are creatures of habit. You know, so you know you're born here and you grow up here. You know,
mm-hmm.
but then for a scholarship to go to college, they leave everything.
Right.
And then when they get out of college for a big job offer, they'll go across the country and the world.
Right.
So their life is all ensnarled in the American dream. And in trying to live it step by step. So first step, get education. Second step, get a good job.
We were talking
Third
about
step,
that.
Say that to you. Huh?
No, I was reminding Sister Ann, we were talking about that on Sunday, how we're especially
right.
those in that generation where we were taught that go to school, get good grades, you can get a good job so you could retire, and, you know, just this whole mindset of, you know,
mm-hmm.
work a little bit now and you'll have ease, all this ease later. And then
right.
how do you down if you've grown up with that mindset and now here you are and you come into knowledge, come into life, and now you got to work some more to build what?
And on that note, we have a caller. We have a caller on the line. Caller with the last four digits, 6783. What's your name and where are you
yes,
calling from?
Yes, sir. This is Sister Ula Bakia calling from Detroit, Michigan. Praise be to Allah. I am so glad to hear. Wa alaikum salam. So I'm so glad to hear you speaking on subjects that I've been working on over 50 years. Just like the blood transfusions in the black neighborhood, I've been told that they take the black people's blood. The whites take our blood and they give us their blood when they transfuse. Everything about this world is wicked and against our rights because we know their blood weakens us, but ours strengthens them.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Dracula in real time.
Yes, sir.
And they don't have no remorse. They
no,
think it's
sir.
Supposed to be that way. And
right.
We don't have a clue. We just think it's supposed to be that way. How can somebody, how you give somebody, how somebody, you give me what, $40 for my blood? Excuse me? My blood, $40?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
No,
okay.
No,
but
on.
that's what they pay us. And then they tell us $8,000. The rich pay $8,000 for the same amount of blood they take from you for 40.
What?
I just can't. $8,000. I cannot accept that. I cannot accept somebody giving me $40 of my blood and taking it and selling it to somebody for $8,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Shouldn't I get 50%? It's my blood.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
It's just, I mean,
but then I'm giving you, if I were to do that, then I would give you an indication of how valuable you are.
Mm-hmm.
That should be an indication of how valuable we are. But we don't value it ourselves, but others do. And
right.
As long as we're in place for them, the bloodsuckers. So when the members of Farrakhan said they were the bloodsuckers of the poor, you know, now it's real. And for me, that's enough. When I hit the children with that, I guarantee you they go ask their parents about that. Is that true? And I'll be interested to see what their parents say about those blood donation places. You know. So
wow.
Hopefully the children. Well, you know, again, they are thinkers. So you hit them with information. Some of them go check you out. And once they start using these smartphones to start asking questions, it's gonna be all over. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
So, but that's what we got to do. We got to go at the youth before they get caught up in having babies and being locked
right,
in
by exactly.
Death.
Right.
Because once
right.
you start with you have a family, you got to go. You got to make that money fast, and then you got to start. You got to have a house, apartment. Then you got to have a car to get to work, and then she got to have a car to get to work because we can't make it on one salary. So you need two cars. So you go to separate jobs. So
right.
It's a treadmill from then on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When the minister said, he said, above all, when he talked about us controlling our communities, he said, above all, the education of our children. Because, I mean, if not, we're just perpetuating, like you said, Dr. Ridgely, we're just it's creatures of habit, and we're just perpetuating generation after generation the same cycle of just survival.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. The one thing we got in our communities that's killing us is the fast food. That's one of the major ways that they kill our people. Is a restaurant on almost every corner.
Yep.
Instead of the women cooking and preparing wholesome, nourishing meals.
Yes.
You know,
that's right.
I asked the children about that, and it was interesting how many said that they would like to learn how to cook. I was surprised.
Mm.
You know what I mean? They're interested at that age. They are interested in stuff like that. If we could
yes,
just get
sir.
Them into healthy eating, and then
mm-hmm.
I talked about the difference between real sugar and high fructose corn syrup, and then, you know, why would you want to eat an impossible burger? It's impossible, so why would you want to eat an impossible burger? Okay?
You know.
They got it. And so I said, look, now this spring and summer, we're going to have you some fresh vegetables and watermelons and stuff right
mm-hmm.
around the corner. So make sure you tell
mm-hmm.
your parents. To come and
that's
take
right.
you out there so you give you some real stuff good for you.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes good too. But
mm-hmm.
it's good for you. So if I can get around to, matter of fact, the brother, he wants me to come and stay in New York to go around to all the schools. I said, man, I ain't coming here to stay. I don't, you know.
Yes, sir.
You may see me a week, a year. That's it. I ain't coming here. This is ridiculous getting around here. But
yeah,
but the children will respond if
mm-hmm.
they're given a chance to. This is why, you know, when the minister, we did the whole Day of Atonement in Detroit, and he had those brothers, I think it was seven brothers, to go around to seven different schools. And the tremendous response from those students. That was ran the white man crazy. He's really rubbed a whole lot of bad stuff about the minister, you know, talking about termites and stuff like that. But because that was a shock, because those brothers changed the environment in that school within 15
mm-hmm.
minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So what if they could be there once a week, or
mm-hmm.
come as a assistant principal, or come as a teacher? So they run all the good teachers out. And this is, and they change it, and they make the curriculum, they dumb the curriculum down.
Mm-hmm.
These children can go as high as you push on them to go.
Mm-hmm.
But they dumb them down. So, yeah, it's killing fields. So that's
yes.
killing fields. And then once they've killed your spirit to learn and make you feel inadequate, then they got you. Because once you feel inadequate, you know, that's the way a pimp does. A pimp will make the women who he pimps, make them
mm-hmm.
feel inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
So that he keeps them
prey on
locked
their weakness.
In their weakness. It plays on their weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this system does. It makes you weak and then plays on you and then feeds off of you. So I told
mm-hmm.
the young people, I said, you don't want to wind up being poor when you have to go and sell your blood to survive. Ooh. I said, I got you that time, didn't I? So, you know. So, but that's the way we got to teach it. We got to start out with the young, because once you get caught up in having babies, you know what I mean, and partying, and then having debt, You locked down for the long haul.
Right. Yeah.
And then you don't have a.
Yeah. And we have to start looking at getting to the young people. And when I say young, even younger than high school, because of get them at the age before they get to high school to that next level of going out and getting jobs and start acquiring some of the material possessions independently, then we have a greater chance. So we've got to step up our efforts in getting that young group. So what you did while you were there, that's something we need to look at doing in all of our communities.
Yep. And I have to credit the brother for his ability to get into those schools. And, I got to talk to him and find out how he did it. Well, I know one how he did it. He knew people from his childhood. You know, now they're teachers. And so he was able to go to some people he knew. You know what I'm saying? And open it up. And his thing is he's trying to show them a better way to eat, and black entrepreneurship. Okay. And so that's how he got in, and he asked me to come. To be with him. So it can be done, but it's going to take some homework, some teamwork.
Right. That is teamwork. I know when we were in California, I don't know if you remember, Carlton, Dr. Gail Myers from Farms to Grow, that's one of the things she did in writing the legacy and the history of black farmers and trying to get the children young and educate them about eating well and growing their own food. That was one of the things she did. She was always in there with those after-school programs for young children in elementary school and building planter boxes and, having them educated about food, where it comes from, and having little cooking demonstrations with little children and then going out there and growing it. And they were just, they loved it. They just loved it.
They sure did.
Yes, all the programs I see on TV where they are having school gardens and children participate and they eat what they grow. They really, really enjoy that. As a matter of fact, I have this video that was sent to me by Sister Pamelia. It's The Adventures of Muhammad's Children and Growing Our Own Food. I haven't looked at it yet, but I've seen it advertised on the internet. I mean, not on the internet, but on Facebook, where others are talking about it. And, this is, what we have to do.
Well, I think that there is a lot, going on now, and in particular, the young people are getting it, and they want to get involved in agriculture. So what we have to do is continue to teach them and prepare a way for them, so that they will have a market for their products. So this is what we try to do right now. We're setting up some things, and I got some brothers who got trucks, and I got, now we set up the people who are going to sell it in New York. So, we'll see. We got to find the right people who are going to actually carry through and do something. And so ain't nothing like somebody who's already doing it, As a matter of fact, I told Ann, the brother, he said he was the one who got the sister in Atlanta who does the slutty vegan. He said she's from New York. That's somebody who he trained. That's what he said.
Wow.
Okay. I don't know, but that's what he said. So, you know, it's people who getting it. You know, other words, the money's on the street,
mm-hmm.
and people will eat. If it's good, they'll eat it.
Right.
Okay. If it's good, they'll eat it. And even if after they find out it's actually good for them, they'll eat it if it's good.
If it's good,
like,
right.
I told the brother he makes a hell of a fish sandwich. You know, it's not a fish sandwich. It's a fish sandwich. Okay? Mm-hmm. It reminds me of Sister Ann's fish sandwiches. All right? He did a good job with his fish sandwich. And he also has a chicken sandwich. But it's just, you know, it's okay. I tried it, you know, because everybody said, you know, but no, his fish sandwich, I said, don't matter what you do, don't you get rid of this fish sandwich because you got it going on. So, and I was there, and that's what people were coming for. They come, they heard about it. They heard about this brother's fish sandwich, you know. So once you get a good product that tastes good and is affordable, you know, black folks will buy it as long as they ain't got to cook it. So
right.
That's what we got to work on until we grow up another set that we'll cook. We're going to have to cook it for them and get it to them. You know what I mean? So it's so bad. Sister Vegeta, it's so bad that they don't want to buy the bread unless you don't slice it for them.
Oh my goodness. That's funny because I know there was one brother that was willing to donate a bread slicer to me just so I could slice his bread.
And when you get used to it, you know, it's just nothing. You know you have to do it. So you just
right.
do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there's so many little inexpensive instruments you can use to slice your bread quickly, you know, if you just want it like
right.
that. But
right.
Right. And it all comes down to taking your time and go
right.
ahead and slice the whole thing while you are slicing what you need.
Mm.
Right. Yep. Well, you know, it's a mindset, you know. And
it is.
But why they lazy? We will have to charge them. Okay. We will have to charge them for their laziness. Okay. We got to go the extra mile and charge them for their laziness. While we teaching the next generation, but we got to get the money, what we can out of this generation. So value added is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
All it is to it, you know. So anybody else on the line? Anybody else call?
No, sir. We are down to the last 5 minutes. If anybody would like to make a comment. You got just a few minutes.
Okay,
well,
y'all, I'm going to talk to all night.
Good.
Well, time went by rather fast tonight with this discussion. And I hope we can have more like this where we're just talking about things that we have done, working towards separation, the condition of our people in their condition of not being separated. Well, they're separated in a way because they're living in these cities and, you know, you don't know your neighbors, you don't get out. So, you know, there's separation. But it's
isolation. Isolation.
Yeah, isolated.
Yep.
But it's the comfort level that they've gotten used to. And, you know, they're not
right.
really comfortable.
Yep.
It's just something they've gotten used to.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to wish no earthquake on no fires on the people. You know, I really don't wish that on my people, you know. But I sure hope they figure out another way to get out besides that having to be done. Because it ain't, I tell you, there ain't many ways to get out of damn New York. That's why them rich folks line up on that damn
man.
Because in the mornings, I was listening this morning, you know, this, to the news, and all the major arteries going into Manhattan were an hour to an hour and a half delays.
Wow.
Because of one accident here, one accident here, one accident here. I'm going like, are you all kidding me? You know what I mean? Why? You know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So when things go down, they have you locked down. They know where you're not going to be going.
Yep.
Well, I guess they all think, Dr. Richie, that they will survive.
Go ahead, come on in. That's right. Put my song.
You said what?
I love that song. Go ahead, Miss Gaynor. Go ahead, Gloria. Pump it up.